Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Marvin B. I am your... Oh, wow. That's going to be a nice edit somewhere down the road. Welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. And folks, let me just say, I am in day 14 of my FedEx watch, and somebody sent me a message last night that my packages must have been quarantined because of COVID-19. That is why I have not received them. So having lovely conversations with FedEx about where my 11 computers are. So that's probably where my head is at. So anyway, we are going to have a great show. I am joined today by Harry Brelsford, the CEO of SMB Nation. And we're going to be talking about another new book. Harry, how are you?
I'm doing good. I should be able to spell my own last name properly for the edit screen. So I hear you. My head is, a pandemic head or whatever you want to call it. But hey, I'm doing good. I'm staying safe. I'm washing my hands, staying inside. Thank you for having me on.
That is the thing. Stay safe right now. And so I don't know if you guys are having any changes in your quarantine. We are still in phase one. And I'm in the city of Fort Lauderdale, and South Florida, of course, is a buzz because they're trying to reopen, but they don't want the beaches packed on Labor Day weekend. So they're trying to figure all that stuff out. Meanwhile, the wife and I are heading to the other coast because we have an anniversary to celebrate. So we're going to do that. And how are things going with you in your area with COVID and business in general?
Yeah. So, Seattle got hit hard and early, and we learned our lesson. And we're probably more receptive than other parts of the country. And I don't mean to indict your particular region.
Oh, no, go right ahead. Go right ahead. We are home of Florida, man. So
let's pick on Texas. So Texas is full steam ahead, for lack of a better word. And Seattle learned its lessons, so we're still fairly locked down. I'll give you a very simple example. I spent some time in Texas last winter. I'm in the YMCA. I was getting back into swimming. The YMCA is open in Austin, Texas. Hmm. It is not open in the Seattle area. There's your answer.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So we learned our lesson, and people are, for lack of a better word, conforming in general, despite what you see on the national news and one neighborhood with, some stuff going on, of course, but Seattle learned its lesson.
All right,
with respect to COVID.
Good for you. Florida, let me rephrase that. Most of Florida has learned its lesson and is understanding. There are pockets, and unfortunately, they are pockets with a lot of Florida men. So lots of stories out there about people who just simply either don't get it or don't care. And that's a weird state to be in for us. So,
yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah, Florida. God bless Florida.
Yes. So Harry, it's been about a year, since we talked last, and, we now have a new book, but let me first ask, how did last book go? And I actually need to ask you a question because I think I've seen two names for it. And it was How to Be an MSP, Volume 1, and then there was the Vertical Edition, but then there was a Cannabis Edition. I mean, were they two separate books, or?
No, it's the same book, and I'm glad you brought that up. We need to fix that messaging, because here's what we did, Marvin, is it's a blue book called How to Be an MSP, Volume 1, Vertical Edition. That is the book.
Okay.
Now, the Vertical is cannabis. And what we're going to do is update the cover and probably the ISBN listing and Library of Congress and all that. And it's going to be How to Be a Cannabis MSP, Probably I'll change volume one. It'll be easier to call it How to Be an MSP Cannabis Vertical Edition. But right. But you're raising a good question that I missed on the messaging. And part of that was I was trying to be respectful to our community. And got to roll back again about 14 months ago. There was still some sensitivity to the conversation of the cannabis business vertical. And that's largely gone away now. People understand, I mean, I can go on, you know, it got the essential services designation tag, just like food and other things in the pandemic. There is an understanding of medical use in a pandemic, right? So right. There's some serious conversations. So essential services, and then just the growth and the job opportunities. Saw a study the other day, don't know if I completely believe it, but they were still anticipating a 50% gain in employment in 2020 when it's all measured in the cannabis vertical. And there will be more people in the cannabis vertical than computer programmers in the U.S. Again, it was a media study. Take it for, you know, cut the numbers in half, right. But that's still positive growth.
Definitely. All right. So, yeah, I don't think the message should be that much of a problem. I mean, you know, everybody's talking about legalize it in the states that it's still not legal. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff coming out in studies with THC and all of these things. So I think that's a very good vertical to be in if that's happening in your area.
Yeah. And I would, final part of my answer to your question is, I'm too early again. Okay. So I wrote this book 14 months ago, Marvin, this is akin to when I got involved in Small Business Server. I just double checked myself the other day, late 97. And Small Business Server really didn't find its feet until 2003. And then it took off.
Right.
And I would argue I'm too early, but that's good news for you, me, and your audience that there's still time to make this one of your verticals, like healthcare and construction, whatever your vertical is, there's still time. You haven't missed, you know, the train has not left the station.
Right. But there's something to be said about being too early as opposed to being too late. Because people that jumped on the Small Business Server bandwagon in 2011, that was the time that Microsoft was pulling the carpet out from everybody. And fun times.
My whole career, I've been too early, man. So I'll just leave it at that.
All right. So that leads us to the new book, and it is entitled The Pocket MBA Instant Entrepreneur. So let me do the bridge question. So this isn't volume two to How to Be an MSP.
No.
Okay.
No.
Will there be a separate volume two?
On the How to Be an MSP?
Uh-huh.
Cannabis? Not sure. I'm shifting my efforts, my entrepreneurial efforts. The Pocket MBA is, and we'll go into it, but it's a whole different crowd. And I think the MSPs and the IT pros can benefit from thinking business speak and a little mini MBA. Quite frankly, a 2-year traditional MBA at $100,000 a year, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense in our crowd. That's not a great investment.
Right.
So no, this is, for a whole different crowd. And some of my examples, of course, come from technology, but Marvin, I'll give you a simple example. One use case, and I actually talked to a lady. She has a well-respected, she's a chef. She has a food truck in New Braunfels, Texas. I chatted with her. She, of course, got hit when all the events shut down, like South by Southwest in Austin. And, you know, that's how she makes her money,
okay.
Right? And the book is for her as much as anybody else that, hey, maybe you can get involved in the federally funded school lunch program with kids at home. Why not become the ice cream truck that used to park in the center of the neighborhood and turn on the music and hand out school lunches at noon in neighborhoods and get paid from federal funding Does that make sense? This is a much broader conversation, but everybody can benefit from that new thinking.
Okay. Well, that was going to lead into the question of why. Why a book on basically how to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So the thinking is that we're going to have to innovate our way out of this. So there's a couple of personas that maybe help answer that question. One is, if you're over 50 and you came from the corporate world, you probably have been downsized, right? So over 50 and fired, very common. Yep. And very sad. And especially in the pandemic. Number two would be a conversation I'm going to strike up after the book hits the shelves with the Boeing company in the outplacement department. So they're laying off 20,000 people in Seattle in aerospace for a number of reasons, right? The 737 MAX and travel decline and all that. This book could be part of an outplacement package, right? Where they give you the resume writing service, the public speaking, coaching, and here's a book, because many of these people who were in aerospace engineering, especially if you're over the age of 50, there's not a job waiting for you. So you're going to have to innovate your way out of this. Another persona would be popular at the college level, even with my youngest son. Colleges have centers for entrepreneurship, right? And colleges are shifting from, you know, historically training you to go be an employee.
Right.
they're now, it's very popular now to have these centers for entrepreneurship that you're going to create your own job. You're going to create your own company. And so that's probably a couple of personas. I'm probably forgetting one or two, but that was the idea, is that there are no jobs. You're going to have to create your future. You're going to have to create a company or provide, you know, be a gap filler. You're going to have to be an entrepreneur and fill some gaps in the marketplace.
Right. So this takes me on a very hard left turn, because I remember I spoke with Jay McBain from Forrester Research a few weeks ago. Yeah. And we were talking about MSPs having, you know, as much as a 30% decrease in their business, and some even more, which means that a lot of technicians, a lot of people in the MSP world will be displaced.
Yeah.
So it is interesting that while there may be a decrease, there's going to be an increase in people wanting to be an entrepreneur and start their own business and try to make a go of it. So
yeah.
Anything you see in there with, you know, the timing of this, and this is a perfect time, I guess, for people that are now looking to make a new start.
Yeah, I'll answer it this way. So my friend and yours, Carl Palachak, a thought leader who also thinks outside the box, and that's kind of a key point. Well, let me go down that rabbit hole, and then I'll talk about Carl. And we had the same idea at the same time. But Marvin, for forever and a day, it's frustrated me and our audience how MSPs behave like, by analogy, an oncologist. Okay. And here's what I mean, that they're highly, typically we started out technical, right? We were highly skilled, Windows NT advanced server, right? The registry, the hives, you know, so we were medical doctors, right? And an oncologist wakes up in the morning. And by the way, they often don't have the best bedside manners, right? They're wicked smart, but you know that, but they wake up in the morning and it's cure cancer. Right. Cure, you know, little robots, right? Cure cancer. I am going to work to cure cancer. And too often they don't care. Again, they don't have the best bedside manners. They're certainly not a hospice social worker with music and candles. And again, my example is a little grim, but I have to make my point, is that a lot of MSPs are oncologists, and then they, like they do Active Directory, or they, you know, they're just wicked smart in one area or two. They, over the last 5 or so years, they begrudgingly became resellers and recurring revenue. And yeah, I guess I have to make a living, but I'd still prefer to play with the technology. Okay. And I'm trying to help them break out of that mindset, that that's fine. And that got you to where you're at today, but One of my readers, a generic, well, historic reader for SMB Nation, Mr. Atkins in the Midwest, he has now rebooted his personal financial planning service. He's actually, you know, Series A certified, whatever investment brokers have to be. You know how you have to go right. take tests and be certified and all that. So he happily has rebooted his life in the past few weeks, and I'm tracking him on LinkedIn to bring back Atkins Financial Planning Services. And maybe that helps answer part of your question about the revenue decline and shortfall, and you might have to have a side hustle or make it your main hustle. Back to Carl Palachek. The reason for this book, and it's one of those things, you know, and again, I'm a storyteller, that in the early 70s, and I only know this from history, but the computing industry ground to a halt because of the vacuum tubes or whatever the tube, you know, old radios with the glass tubes, right?
Right, yep.
And it ground to a halt. We hit our limit. And then simultaneously, like three people were developing the integrated circuit, or the three entities, right? So Texas Instruments, they claim they invented the integrated circuit. National Semiconductor would raise their hand, to some extent Intel. And then the industry took off, right? And so the point is, you have simultaneous ideas. You think it's your idea, but actually it was going on simultaneously. And that's what happened with Carl. Carl kicked out 140-page workbook that's a little bit cartoony on how to start a business, and it's a bunch of checklist. Okay. And he was working on that at the same time I was working on this, and we actually didn't know that we were doing simultaneous development in this field, and we're going to team up and do some bundles, and it's all good. But he came out to market in, I believe, July with his book. And the idea is the payroll protection program funding starts to run out in July or August, right? So a lot of us were given a lifeline. You darn sure better be reinventing yourself and innovating. And that was the basis for my effort starting in May and writing this book. Is I'm like, and so when Carl and I talked, it's like, hey, that was my idea. And Marvin, our books are complementary. I'm not necessarily a procedural book and a checklist book. I am more from the MBA strain strategy and tactics and that kind of thing. And talk about a bundle. I mean, it's hot dog and bun. I mean, these books can go together.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, your book, there's a couple of places where you could have checklists, but it's, now let me first go back. It's a hefty book.
We're probably coming at around 350 pages.
And thank you for forwarding me the sections that you did. And I went to peruse that thinking it was just going to be a few pages, and oh no.
So, yeah.
So I had to dig deep into this one and set aside some time, but there's a lot in this book. And let me start by saying that when you wrote the last book, I thought that that would be a great book on how to really start your business. Okay, this book, I have to say double what I said before. This is really the book. If you want to learn how to start a business, this is the book to start with.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, because I think the last book, and by the way, the Pocket MBA is a derivative work of two prior books. So back in 2003, I wrote a book called SMB Consulting Best Practices. Right. Uh-huh. And then, as I would have told you a little over a year ago, I went to Mini Storage and found the CD-ROM. I had to then find a CD-ROM player, and I found the Word files to take that work and update it for the cannabis vertical. Right.
Okay.
And then we did it again. We took the cannabis vertical book and stripped out references to any specific technology, MSP, or vertical, because again, I want to be in my heart of hearts, I want to be on the shelf at an airline bookstore when travel returns and somebody from corporate America, a little bit, they're 49 years old, they know what's coming when they turn 50. we call it packaged out.
Right.
And they buy my book and they get on a plane. if that makes sense. So it's a derivative work, but thank you for the compliment, because I took extra care to do a rewrite. You know, it wasn't just find and replace term MSP with entrepreneur, right? I probably could have done find and replace in Word.
Well, yeah, I mean, and there are still bits of the MSP world in there, but I mean, just even the start, you know, to start off, so you want to be an entrepreneur, and, you know, tackling it from that perspective alone, you know, you don't have to be in the IT industry to want to be an entrepreneur. So that's a grabber. And then talking about all the different things from customer service and billable time and finances. I mean, there are so many things in there that can be translated to just about any business.
And that was, and thank you, because that was the goal. So I appreciate you sharing that, because that's what woke me up in the morning and kept me up at night, was I've got to, Marvin, I mean, it's an MBA concept, it's a business concept, but it's called getting out of your own way, right? So one of my challenges after 30 years in tech is to get the heck out of my own way.
We all have trouble with that. Trust me. I'm still having trouble with that myself. So one of the things that, so for instance, when I go through a book, I do the skim first, and then I go back and tackle the parts that really hit me.
Sure.
So, you know, of course, the why do you want to be an entrepreneur was the one thing. The second thing was the business plan, that you spent a lot of time talking over the business plan and the length and how to do it. And even sharing your own original SMB Nation right plan on your napkin was something good. Was that page, I don't know, somewhere in the 50s, early on.
It's in the first, I think it's in the first third of the book. That's right.
Because I did a similar thing. It wasn't on a napkin, but it was on a pink piece of paper. Now, this was when I thought I was going to have a store. So I actually had my store layout in there.
Wow. Hey, frame that. No, but sir, frame that to preserve the quality of the, you know, so it doesn't dry out and get the paper get yellow. Right. I mean, that's really cool, man.
So you starting with that and going into a lot of the concepts. Now I'm going to jump towards the end of the book, because that's where I gravitated to when you started talking about, you know, the finances and how to do this. And when you started talking about clientele, and you talked about what stuck out of me. Here we go. Let me get my notes here. So the 1 hour rule and the $1,000 client. Now, I don't want to, you know, try to give away too much of your book here on the air, but those two things stuck out to me. And I don't know if it's just simply because they translate to my business and how I should be thinking about clients. That was another point in here. It says you need to, what was the phrase? Something about, dialing down, know who your clientele is.
Yeah.
That was a big part of that. So that was before this section. And then you talked about things where, you know, the 1 hour rule and the $1,000 client. So what made you come up with, and is this something from your previous business? But what made you come up with the 1 hour rule? Because it's not just for how to deal with clients. It's about everything. Everything is a 1 hour rule.
Yeah. And thank you for recognizing that, because again, I fancy myself an entrepreneur first, and that's how I started SMB Nation. It just happened to be in the technology space, right? And it's great. I mean, it's fantastic and still is. But the 1 hour rule was basically going back to what we just talked about getting out of your own way. So, you know, In the old days, you had a salt shaker where you turned it and it went for 1 hour. Today, you know, you have these fancy Fitbit watches.
You have them. I don't. I don't wear watches.
Okay. But, you know, but you can set your timer. Right. But I think it's more up here in the wetware between your ears that inherently you should, you know, be aware of trying to resolve a problem for an hour and then give it up. And I'll give you a silly example. As I was, you know, I'm in quarantine in my house more or less and have been for months. And so I was cleaning out mini storage and, you know, just had time on my hands this summer and wanted to stay busy. So we're doing the mini storage thing. And I found an MP4 player from SanDisk from yesteryear.
Nice.
Right. And I charged it. It turned on. it worked. Well, then I went and tried to figure out how to bring it up to modern standards and, you know, the BIOS refresh and all that. Well, it turns out it didn't completely work. Okay, maybe there was a reason it was in mini storage, right? It just okay. it kind of worked. And after about an hour, I'm like, this goes in the donation pile. You know what I'm saying? Get in geek mode. You get in geek mode, and it's like, okay, that's an hour. That was fun. Quite frankly, I can listen to podcast on my phone. Times have changed.
Yeah.
That's the 1 hour rule. If that's a fair example.
Well, I got that, but you also use that in other places too, in terms of presentations and, wasn't the business plan. It was the sales plan where you shouldn't pitch for more than an hour.
Yeah. And boy, I probably would. When we do the second version on that one, I probably need to get that down to 15 or 30 minutes, you know, because we live in a Zoom world, right? So everything's compressed now.
Right.
but thank you. I mean, what I'm trying to articulate there is that geeks, and again, the community from which I come, we talk too much, and we like to get into the weeds, and the customer. At a maximum, it should be a 1 hour sales pitch. And you can have a productive meeting in 1 hour, right? I mean, there's the project scope, the time, the duration, the fee, that probably takes an hour to kind of map that out and then kick out an email with repeating that. But yeah, Marvin, too often people just go on and on and on. And that obviously that's not good customer service. That's not good sales. I'll give you one other example, and I use it in the book. I did a startup in predictive analytics, formerly known as big data, machine learning. Now it's called AI. And my boss was analytical, and we had an algorithm to score leads for large online colleges, right? Like University of Phoenix. And a lady, actually someone you and I both know from the tech space, over in a large training franchise, she hired us. And she said, "Harry, doggone it, every time I ask your boss what time it is, he tells me how to build a clock, right? I just want to know that it's 9:28 a.m. Pacific. Okay, that's all I wanted to know." So hopefully that is another way to present the 1 hour rule, Marvin. Right.
Well, that's a good thing. And I was just writing a note here saying that as techs, we talk too much and we tinker too long.
Yeah, we do. We also tend to be a little overweight, present company accepted. But
well, I'm doing that by choice now. So I am done with my regimen of being in shape and playing sports. When I hit 50, I said, I'm good.
So, you wear it well. You wear it well, my friend.
That's because I only shoot from this part up. So
there we go.
All right. So one last thing on the book before we head out here. In your resources section, and I don't know if people ever read the resource section, but I do. And I saw that you not only had things like Susie Orman listed there, but you had the Millionaire Mind series in there.
Yeah. And, yes, I do, sir. It's proudly on my bookshelf. Yep. That's exactly right. Thomas Stanley.
Yep. So I've read The Millionaire Next Door, The Millionaire Mind, and but you referenced the seminar series. So did you go through that or
what? I did.
Okay.
I did not pay to go through the seminar series, and that's actually a really good question. And for your listeners, I want you to, if you don't mind, but listen a little bit closer on this answer, is that so on the radio are the proverbial advertisements down at the SeaTac luxury hotel Thursday night from 6 to 9 p.m. is a free webinar or free used to be called seminar. Free seminar for the Millionaire Mind. Right. And so I went, and I would encourage every listener to go to those things, right? Now, we all know how the game's played. They're there to sell you a kit, okay? Right. They're there to sell you a system, and by the end of three, and they give you the free food, and maybe the beer and wine rolls out a little bit later, and they hook you, right? It's proverbial condo time share sales.
Right.
They hook you. And maybe you get the free ticket to Disney World if you go to an 8-hour seminar, right? Next thing you know, you own a timeshare. Point is, I did not pay for the kit. I was more interested in the format of that.
Oh,
okay. And there's real knowledge transfer. I mean, these 2 to 3 hour Thursday evening airport hotel things are highly effective. I mean, they're really good. You know what I mean? These people are scripted and convincing. And I'm sure they have a great close rate. So A, go to those to just increase your own knowledge. And then B, maybe you want to be that person. And here's what I mean. Remember when I talked about simultaneously having the same idea? There's two gentlemen in Australia, Mark Blundell, who I don't know personally. And I get his, you know, 3 times a week emails asking me to buy his kit, but they did that. They had a free a Facebook webinar, right? In this day and age, right? It's not the airport hotel, but right. It's the 2-hour webinar. And they were selling a kit, and they still are. It's called the Over 50s Consultant. So they, again, we're all having the same idea at the same time. And what they're saying, Marvin, is that you, by the time you're 50, you have domain expertise in some field, right? It may be pharmaceutical sales, right? You were that rep who brought donuts on Monday to the hospital, which is now illegal.
Yeah.
But you were the donut delivery rep, and but you learn you learned about pharmaceuticals along the way. Probably one drug like Lipitor. They're typically niched, you know, that you can answer any question on Lipitor. Number two, you learn how to sell. And number three, you learn how to, you know, just do business. And what Mark Blundell and his partner are saying is take that domain expertise, right? First of all, you have expertise. Second of all, you lost your job. You're over 50. Third, become the over 50s consultant, which is being an entrepreneur. And Marvin, to kind of go full circle, do you know where that would translate immediately to? Is the cannabis business sector, because cannabis and medical use and CBD and I'm not a lifestyle guy, so let me be very clear. I'm not on the lifestyle side. I'm on the business side.
Okay.
And it's a very serious, well-funded sector. But you could be the rep for I'll give a real world example. A friend of mine is exactly this. He's a rep for Fairwinds, which is a dispensary group in Seattle. And his niche is to go give free seminars to assisted living centers for seniors. And Marvin, when he started this, it was an idea. And he's from tech. He got out of tech. And he started repping for Fairwinds. And when he started it, he thought he'd have like, you know, 5 or 6, you know, people in a senior citizen's home. He said that it was standing room only. Like there would be 45 people listening about, you know, and he would go into the science of it, right? You know, the put the cream on that sore elbow, right?
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Right.
And then the pandemic hit. And so obviously he can't go into senior assisted living centers anymore. But the point is that's an over 50s consultant. He's actually over 60. But I mean, isn't that cool?
That's.
So we're all reinventing. We're all thinking outside the box. But, you know, folks, each of you have expertise. You have some gifts you built up. Think of how to, and you're going to hang up on me. This word is way overused, but how to pivot.
Well,
hope you're still there.
Yeah. Pivoting to the new normal, right?
Yeah. But I hope I made my case that's kind of where we're coming from. I know we're reaching the end. Maybe two final thoughts. Here's what I want to do is that in my heart of hearts, this is a new entrepreneurial endeavor for me outside of tech. And so by the end of the year, first of all, I years ago got the trademark Pocket MBA. Thank goodness.
Okay.
So I can defend it. number, and maybe even be acquired. Number two, I got the domain name, and this is really cool. I had pocketmba.com, and it expired and got taken. Marvin, I have pocket.mba. You know how the new internet extensions are unique now?
Yeah.
So I have pocket.mba, and what I'm hoping to do by end of year and going into next year for this much larger audience than MSPs is have a system like the Seth Godin has a program called Alt-MBA. And if I could draft, you know, if I could even be in the same conversation, Seth Godin is a guru. I mean, he's, you know, and I am certainly not a competitive threat to him.
Not yet.
But that's what I'm kind of trying to do is he has the Alt-MBA. I think it's a 10-week program. I have the Pocket MBA. You heard it here first, but that's where I'm headed in 2021. And if I'm going to write a book on being an entrepreneur, I better be an entrepreneur myself, man.
So
I rest my case.
Yeah. So now this book, now it's not out yet. So we got to ask, when is it coming out?
Yeah, it's coming out on Labor Day, September 7th.
Okay.
And it's already, yeah, it's already done. We actually have it on hold right now. I'm waiting for one or two things. I have a rave quote coming from Matt Higgins, who's on Shark Tank. And he's an entrepreneur and an investor. And, you know, that's what Shark Tank does, right? They invest in entrepreneurs. Yeah. Had a chance to meet him. He graciously is preparing a rave quote for the cover, but that's like the last thing we have. And that'll take 2 minutes to update the artwork. So it's coming out on September 7th, Labor Day. And I did that on purpose. I actually could have come out 10 days ago, but first of all, everybody's gone fishing. It's not a great time to have a product launch in late August with everybody fitting in those last days before kids have to do online education. And, you
it's
know,
a tough time right now. Yeah.
It gets crazy. So everybody's out fishing. And then I wanted to do Labor Day because to me it's symbolic, right? Labor Day. And we're talking about jobs. We're talking about job creation. That makes sense. So it will publish on Labor Day, and then you'll see a wealth of promotion, I hope.
All right.
Present company included.
Well, of course, just let me know and we'll get a link up there and drive some listeners to become readers. And get your latest book. And folks, that is the Pocket MBA Instant Entrepreneur dropping September 7th. So, Harry, fantastic. And we ran out of time. I was going to ask you, how are things over at SMB Nation? Outside of the book, you know, anything fun going on?
Well, you know, I'm very honest, and I can answer that very quickly. So, you know, I like SMB Nation, great 20-year run, here yesterday, here today, here tomorrow. But I'm the first to admit our business model is a media integration company in a fairly narrow niche called the MSP community. You know, that it's fantastic, but it's there are other sectors of the economy.
Right.
Okay.
There's a world other than tech. Come on.
Yeah. And so SMB Nation is a fairly mature community, and I would offer it's on the long tail. So and again, that's not to sell against myself. It's more to have your listeners take a look in the mirror and say, you know what, the break fix model, the this model, the that model, it's probably getting fairly mature with automation and consolidation in the MSP community, right? It's not what it was back in Big Iron. And so folks, I would encourage you to do the same. Have a look in the mirror over the next, you know, 10 days as we kind of head into the final summer holiday and ask, are you on the long tail of a business model and do you need to reinvent yourself? And I'm the first to raise my hand, right? I've had a great career, but I'm also, if I'm going to write a book on how to be an entrepreneur, there's a time and a place to start talking about exit strategies, sunsetting. And again, Marvin, I give everyone permission to do that. That's not bad. So no. That's how SMB Nation's doing.
All right. Not a problem there. Just thought I would ask, and thank you for being honest. I love that people are honest and open, and appreciate very much that you answered the question. So. But we're going to pivot back to why we're here. and talk about the fact that people on September 7th be looking for the book, The Pocket MBA, Instant Entrepreneur. We've been talking with Harry Brailsford, CEO of SMB Nation. Harry, was great to catch up, and we will be talking again soon.
Thank you very much.
All right, folks, thank you for, if you watched on the stream, whether it's live or the replay, thank you for watching. If you're listening on the audio podcast, be sure to head over to podnuts.com and catch our show there. You can watch this on replay at YouTube. I will have a link in the show notes for that. And be looking forward to another great episode coming up soon. But until then, holla.